Hey, I'm Steve Gambrill, and I'm thrilled that we have this time together. I pray that God would help you to understand how great He is and how great His plan is for your life. Come on, let's enjoy God together.
It's great to see you this Sunday morning in Bradford. I'm normally in Leeds, but it's great to be here in God's city, city of Bradford. Did anybody wake up at 5 a.m. to watch the boxing? Did anyone? Put your hand up if you did. Come on, what a fight. Tyson Fury. Those of you that don't like boxing, think it's disgusting, immoral, illegal. It was a great fight. You should watch it on YouTube. Well, we're going to get straight into it today. We are speaking about relationology, which I don't think is a word that you'll find in the Oxford Dictionary, but it is a word that Jock established himself. Exploring what it means to be in healthy and dynamic relationships. How many of you know that's a good thing? In my life, often what I find is when my relationships are good, my life is good. And if I go a little bit deeper, sometimes my life is as good and my life is as enjoyable as my relationship with my wife and my kids. Really, that kind of sets the tone for everything else. And when it's not so good, everything else kind of sometimes doesn't feel great. But when my life is great with my wife and my family, everything kind of feels a lot better. And so we're getting into this today, and I'm going to take a little bit of a different approach with you guys today. But how many of you know communication is important when it comes to relationships? In fact, if we said what is the most important part of healthy relationships, I think probably we'd all agree that communication really is key when it comes to healthy and when it comes to healthy and dynamic relationships. And we are all communicating somewhere, somehow. Obviously, we communicate vocally and verbally, but you can also, you know, if you look at nonverbal communication, we are always communicating with our arms crossed. And you are communicating to me right now as I'm communicating to you. Mikey Thomas is nodding his head. He's got his pen, his paper out. He's on the edge of his seat. He is waiting. Rich Martin's on Instagram, sitting back on his seat. You're all communicating in some way, back and forth. And so communication is huge, because it is hard to relate if you don't communicate. It is hard to be involved in great relationology if we don't put the time and the effort and the commitment to communicate. And when it comes to communication, really, it's speaking and listening. It's how I speak, but it's also how I listen. And my wife will sometimes say to me, I'm a good speaker, but I'm not always a great listener. She'll be like, I told you this yesterday 3 times, and I'll still forget. And I'll still like, where are we going? She'll like, I told you this. And she was speaking, and I wasn't listening. Why? Because I was watching Liverpool go 25 points clear in the Premier League. And so I was... That got more of a round of applause and some scriptures that I'm going to read. Speaking and listening. The Bible, in fact, says in James 1, verse 19, that we are to be slow to speak and quicker to listen. And sometimes relationships get into trouble, in my understanding, when I have been quick to speak, but sometimes slow to listen. And what I want to speak about today is that really that dynamic of the speaking. I suppose I'd really call it the voice that we have as human beings, but more importantly, how we relate with each other through the voices that we have. But I think more importantly, the voice of God and how you communicate with the most important relationship in your world, which is the relationship with God. The Bible says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the first and greatest commandment. Jesus is saying that's your number one priority. First things first, how is your relationship with God? And if I have a relationship with God, then I need to be able to communicate with God. And so I want to look at that this morning. Is that okay? If it's not, it's all I've got. Okay, so we're going there. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10 is where we're going to go. 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 to 10. You okay? Good. It says this, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of the God of God was. What a place to lie down, by the way. If there's places to lie down where the ark of God was. I mean, imagine that, the presence, the feeling, the... Then the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, for the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and then the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Bit of context. Samuel is in the place where the ark of God was, and Eli, who is a priest at the time, has become a guardian for Samuel and is kind of looking after him, the son of Hannah. And so they're in this place, and as we hear, Samuel is asleep, and he keeps hearing this voice but doesn't know where the voice is coming from. And what I want to speak in this time that I have with you primarily is about the voice of God. The voice of God. It's something that we don't often communicate or speak about, but I want to ask a few questions. Number one, does God have a voice? Does God still speak today? Or was that something from thousands of years ago? Or is God still speaking to me and you? How do I hear his voice? And does God have a low Barry White voice? Or does he? No, we're not going into the tone of his voice. But we're gonna ask this question about the voice of God. Because I'm not the kind of person, and you might be like me, I'm not the kind of person that every day wakes up and goes through the day and at the end of the day says, "Oh, God spoke to me today." Do you sometimes meet those people? And they're good people, godly people, nothing wrong with them. And I'm not saying that God hasn't spoken to them. But I'm not the kind of person that says, "God spoke to me today about this." It's just kind of, it's not really been who I am. And that is not to say God doesn't speak to me like that. But frequently, I wouldn't say when I walk into Tesco's, I'm just in the Tesco aisle, and God told me what pesto to buy. I wasn't sure if it was red pesto or green pesto. Anyway, you'll never guess what. God spoke to me and told me to buy the green pesto. So I went home, made green pesto. And this amazing miracle happens as a result of the green pesto. It's kind of, if that's you, amazing. 5 stars, round of applause, well done. But for me, like, I've never really kind of communicated with God like that or necessarily heard kind of him speaking to me like that. But that doesn't mean God doesn't speak to me, and it doesn't mean God doesn't speak to you if also you relate to me like that. I'm a little bit more like Samuel, if I'm honest. I'm kind of spend a lot of my time sleeping. Well, less so now, I've had twins, but you know, I used to when I was a student. I'm a bit more like Samuel, where like God has often been using his voice to speak to me, and I've been totally unaware that he was speaking to me. I think there have been times when God has been trying to kind of communicate something to me, and I'm like Samuel, I'm just unaware as to, I sense something, but I don't really know who or where it is coming from. And maybe because in my world and your world too, we are surrounded by hundreds of thousands of voices that are always vying for your attention. Some of those are audible voices. Some of those are visual voices. You're driving down the road and there's an advert shouting at you. As the radio is blaring out another advert, as your wife or a kid is asking you a question, you're surrounded by noise. You're surrounded by voices. Everyone wanting a little piece of your attention. And it's almost like you feel like your life is in a stock market where there's kind of all these commodities being sold and you're there surrounded by all of these voices trying to grab hold of you, because we live in a noisy world and voices are coming from everywhere. They are persuading you to buy something. They are trying to persuade you to try something. They are persuading you to believe something. They are persuading you to know something through social media, through Facebook, through the news. Everyone is trying to grab your attention with their voice. Therefore, it is no surprise that the multiple voices that are speaking into our life and the multiple voices that are speaking into our society can often bring confusion that therefore comes out of our lives. If everyone is speaking into me, it is no surprise sometimes why I'm confused about what I believe, what I think, what I should try, what I should buy, because I have so many opinions and I have so many thoughts and voices coming into me that if it comes into me, it is no surprise that what comes out of me is sometimes confused. And sometimes we lack wisdom. And sometimes we're like struggling to make the right choice because of all of these voices that come into us. And sometimes I have to say, wisdom, where is your voice in this? Should I buy this or should I not? Should I try this or should I not? Should I go there or should I not? Should I change this or should I not? And people are saying yes, and you're saying no, and he's saying maybe, and she's saying no, and turn around and try this. What does wisdom say? Because you need to know wisdom has a voice. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 8, I'll go there quickly. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1 to 4, it says, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand beside the gate leading into the city. At the entrance, she cries aloud, to you, O people, I call out, I raise my voice, wisdom says, to all mankind. Wisdom is always raising its voice somewhere. And wisdom has a voice. It is up to us whether we choose to listen to that voice of wisdom. And that is why as a church, we try and do our best to put on different things and create a culture where wisdom is the loudest voice in our church. Where wisdom trumps the voice of society or trumps the voice of opinion, but because wisdom will guide you in the ways of God. Because God can guide you and God can counsel you and God can help you and he can lead you, but he has a voice and it is often called the voice of wisdom. And one of the most defining impacts on my life and on your life and on your future is the voice that you choose to listen to, but also the voice that you choose to respond to. Because just because you listen to a voice doesn't mean you always have to respond to that voice. But in my life, when I look back at my life, sometimes the biggest defining impact on my destiny has been the voices that are speaking into me and the responses that I make as a result of those voices. Some of you have moved cities, moved countries, moved churches. Some of you have changed friendships. Some of you have changed employments because of a voice from someone saying, do this. And some of you have followed that lead and you have followed that voice over the voice of wisdom. And then sometimes you find yourself in the place you didn't want to be. Or you find yourself in an attitude or a setting that you're like, this is not me. But you have followed a voice and you have responded to that voice. We all have a choice. When all the noises and all the voices are coming our way, we have a voice. Which voice will I choose to respond to? Because I will continually get distracted by all of these multiple voices if I do not take the time to stop and listen and ask God and get him involved in some of the major decisions of my life. On ITV at the moment, there's a TV program that's been around for a while, and many of you know it's called The Voice. How many of you like The Voice on a Saturday night? And what they have is these four chairs. They're a little bit more technical than this. And you have Will.i.am here, and then you have a lady called Meghan Trainor, I believe it is here, and Tom Jones. Mm-hmm. The church love Tom Jones. and then we have Ollie Murs. Okay. And so what happens is, if you haven't seen the show, a singer comes out here and basically sings like Ebi, amazingly well. And then these four judges have a decision to make. Which voice will they turn and respond to? Or do they choose to decline to respond and stay in their seat? And so if Will.i.am is here and he likes the voice that he is hearing, he'll listen to it for a certain amount of time, and normally he'll be dancing, and then he turns and says, I want you. Often, more often, he hears the voice, and his lack of turning tells the singer, I don't want you. And so sometimes all four stay and the singer just wanders off a little bit dejected. But that is a picture of many of our lives, sitting in these seats with voices that are coming to the platform of your life with a certain voice, and you have a decision to make. Will you choose to respond? Because they are all listening, but they've got a decision to make. Will I choose to respond to the voice, or do I choose to reject the voice? Here's a few things I've learned from the show, but also in life as well. This is the first one. Just because the voice sounds great doesn't mean it's the right voice to turn for. Just because it sounds beautiful, it might not be the right voice for Will.i.am. It might be the right voice for Tom Jones, but that doesn't mean Will.i.am needs to turn. He's waiting for a different voice. And so often in life, voices come our way, and it might be right for them, but it doesn't mean make it right for you. A job opportunity might sound great. It might have an incredible voice to the job opportunity, an incredible salary, incredible package, incredible opportunities that you're like, I have to respond to this. But just because it's a great opportunity doesn't make it the right one to respond to. You need wisdom to make the choice on where you will respond. Second thing is, just because Tom Jones turns and responds doesn't mean you need to also. The peer pressure. Well, Tom Jones has turned. Well, they're all doing that, and they're all saying that, and they're all going, so we need to too. And just because he's turned, you don't need to. Why? Because Will.i.am is listening normally to a different voice, and he is normally the most popular of the judges. Because he is strong enough, despite the other three saying, I want you, and I want you. He is strong enough to say, I don't. He's strong enough to say, it might be good for you, but that is not what I want to respond to. And the third thing that I think I learned from the voice is that, you know, when they are all sat here and the singer is singing amazingly well, you'll have the judges here and you'll see the crowd. How many have seen the audience? And the audience are all here going, press it, press it. I'm like, I don't think they understand. They can't press it for every singer who comes out. And so you got all these judges, and they're going, oh, well, the audience are saying press it. Maybe we should, Jack, we should, they're all saying, boom. The peer pressure of the crowd is saying, this is a voice we need to turn to, so let's turn. Let's move to the area. Everyone else is moving to the area. Let's change that. Everyone else is changing that. Let's turn. And sometimes what I've seen happen is they will boom, turn under the pressure of the audience. And then they turn around and hear it for another few seconds and go, oh no. We turned too early. And we responded too early. If only we were a little bit wiser in our understanding of the voice that is speaking to us. And so in the confusion of all of these voices, we have choices to make. Because what voices right now are making you turn? Some voices are making you turn. There are certain text messages that you get from certain individuals, and as soon as you get it, boom, you are straight in there. some relationships that you keep responding to that maybe you should be ignoring. Certain thought processes, certain circumstances, you are turning to certain voices and responding. And there are voices in society that are getting louder and louder. The voice of fear is getting louder and louder, like Storm Dennis last week, which wasn't so much of a menace. But don't travel unless it's an emergency. And I understand we have to, you know, be careful and safe. But like the media, the voice of fear is saying, you should not be leaving your house because there are bins being blown over. Stay in. I'm not having a go at anyone who didn't come out in those times. But it's so often, even with the coronavirus, voices of fear that kind of infiltrate our screens. And I heard something this week that more people die from regular flu than they do from the coronavirus. But yet we're not hearing anything about common cold. The voice of fear begins to stir things up. The voice of judgment, the voice of opinion. You only have to watch Question Time. Everybody's got a voice. And everybody's voice is right. What happens is you hear the voice and you have a choice to make, because voices create choices. And we are all basing the choices of our life on the voices that we hear. Sometimes we regret certain choices because we responded to certain voices. Amidst all of that confusion today, my question I want to ask us all is this: where is God's voice amongst all of that? So many times in my life, I've needed direction. And I've asked God to speak to me in a certain time, in a certain pivotal moment. Like, what should I do, God? And I've asked him, and like, be it a university choice or a life partner or where we should live. God, like, I'm waiting for your voice. Speak to me. Your servant is listening. And guess what happens? Nothing. Am I the only one? Like, nothing. Like, zip. Like cold, like psst. And like, I'm like, God, where are you in this? And sometimes I've been there, I have to admit, and you don't leave me hanging now. I know you've been there. There have been times when I've just sat on a sofa on my own, quiet, waiting the audible voice of God. Then you hear a bus. Maybe God is saying move. Then you hear someone honk a horn. Beep, beep, go. Like nothing. I'm like, God, can't you just speak to me? Like, forget everyone else. Like, forget them, but I want to hear your, nothing. Sometimes I look for a message in the sky. Where should I live? Oh, that cloud looks like California. Oh, that one looks like Hawaii. Why do no clouds ever look like Coventry, Chesterfield, Bolton? No offense. Sometimes I wait for a letter from heaven through the letterbox. It doesn't have a stamp on it because God has sent it. And I've been waiting and I've got nothing back. And I'm a little bit kind of in jest on that in terms of exaggerating some of those things a little bit to kind of highlight the fact that sometimes we wait and nothing happens. And God is able to speak through those means. I mean, we know God has spoken audibly. So if he's done it before, he can do it again. God can speak through a donkey. If he's done it before, he can do it again. God can speak through a letter in the post. He can speak through a text message. He can speak through a message in the sky. He can. I'm sure he can do all of those things. But yet, sometimes in my life, I wait. So therefore, what do you do when God is silent? What do you do when the voice of God seems to be silent in a certain situation? The first thing I do is I continue to trust him. Say, God, I'm going to continue to trust you in this. Because just because you are silent does not mean you are absent. There are times when my kids will call me, and just because I'm silent, I'm still in the house. Just because I don't respond, maybe immediately, doesn't mean I'm not there. And so I continue to trust in God. The second thing I do, just because he's not maybe speaking to me as I'd like him to speak to me, I keep speaking to him. Sometimes it's easy to say, well, you ain't going to speak to me, I'm going to speak to you. But if we cannot relate if we don't communicate. And so there have been times when God, I'm like waiting for something and nothing happens. Well, I make this say, hey, God, I'm going to keep speaking to you. I'm going to keep worshiping you. I'm going to keep praying to you. I'm going to keep talking to you. And I'm going to do that. And the third thing I do is I ask the Holy Spirit to guide me. I'm struggling, God, maybe I don't know what you're saying about this and I can't really hear your voice, but Holy Spirit, would you guide me maybe through a person? Would you guide me maybe through a word, maybe through a message? Would you guide me maybe through a scripture? Would you guide me maybe through a book? Would you guide me maybe through a t-shirt? Would you guide me maybe through the inner voice of the Holy Spirit? God, would you just guide me somehow? Because amongst all of the voices, I'm encouraging us today to create space for that voice of God to speak through all of the noise. Because the book of John, chapter 10, verse 27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Why does Jesus say that? Because it is hard to hear and identify the voice when you don't identify the person. If I stood now and I got random ones of you to stand up and talk, for many of you, I'd be like, I don't know who that is. But some of you, if you spoke, I'd be like, I know who that is. That is Angus. That is, you know, Josephus. You know, that is Phil. I would be able to know. Why? Because I know your voice. Why do I know your voice? Because I know you. And I can identify the voice because I know the person. And Jesus is speaking. He's saying, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And just because, and sometimes what happens with the other voices, they all become strangers' voices and they don't have an identity to it. But sometimes the voice of God has such a strength to it. Why does it have such a strength to it? Because you know the person. And some of us are waiting to hear from God. If the best way to hear from God is to know God. It's hard to hear from him if you don't develop a relationship to know him. Because if you don't know him, he just becomes another stranger. And the stranger's voice adds up to all the other kind of stranger's voices. But if you know him, you begin to hear him. I know God and God knows me. I know my kids know me. And me and my kids, we have a way of communicating with each other. And sometimes when I'm in our Leeds campus where we are there most weeks, it's you know, busy, lots of people everywhere. And Jay is only small and Sonny is only small. And so sometimes I can't hear them. But it's amazing. As soon as I hear their voice, I know they're here. Why? Because my ear is attentive. I can hear it. And even though they might not be able to see me, guess what? They can also hear me. And sometimes you are waiting on his voice. And you're like, God, I'm waiting on your voice. Tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me. And sometimes, I want to say this to some of you don't need to keep waiting on his voice. Because maybe God doesn't have anything to say about what you're waiting him to speak about. God, which job should it be? Which house should it be? Which degree should it be? And it's almost like silent. Why? Because maybe God has given you the wisdom, the voice of wisdom to make your own choice. Engineering, biomedical science, you choose. I don't mind. I like both of them. this house, God's like, you choose. I like both of them. Maybe God is cool with you using your voice to make the decision. Because many of us wait for burning bush moments. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to make a decision until this bush begins to burn. Sometimes you'll be waiting a long time for the supernatural voice of God. Because often in my life, and I can only speak from my perspective, and this might be different to yours, and that's fine. But often in my life, his voice has been more naturally supernatural. It's sometimes something I've read. It's sometimes been a conversation I've had. It's sometimes been something I've heard. Sometimes it's been a prophetic word that someone has given me. Sometimes it's a word of knowledge that has been spoken to me. No goosebumps, no like keys playing under the moment. Just this sweet sense that this is God. Just that this sweet sense that this is right, and it always attaches itself to the voice of wisdom. And a couple of things, how you know if you're right and this is right or this is not right. The voice of God will never contradict himself. The voice of God will never contradict his word. And so if you want to live in a certain lifestyle, well, I think God gave me permission to do it. No, he didn't. If the lifestyle doesn't match up with the word of God. Why? Because God will not speak a word which contradicts his word. God will not speak a voice or speak a word that contradicts his plan. And that is often the voice of the flesh. That you want to try and convince yourself to be the voice of God. But the voice of God will always line up with his kingdom, and it will always line up with his righteousness. It will never line up with your kingdom, and it will never line up with simply your way of doing things. It lines up with his plan and his purpose. And sometimes I've asked God to speak about something and use his voice in certain things, and sometimes nothing back. And why I've realized, if God has already said it, maybe he doesn't need to repeat himself. If God has already told me to go, maybe I should go. If God has already told me to say it, maybe I should say it. If God has already told me to, you know, sometimes you feel a prompt to be generous, like Isaac was earlier, and you feel this nudge. Maybe that is the voice of God. It's wise, it's kingdom, it's righteousness. It feels right. I'm going to do it. You don't need to get there an hour before going, God, I need you to remind me if I should do this again. If he's already said it, maybe he doesn't need to repeat himself. And with all the voices that happen in our world, you can't silence them all. But you can choose to decide what you listen to and what you respond to. That is why people in the gym, what do? They wear headphones. Why? Because I don't want to be distracted by everyone else's noise or what's going on. I want to be focused, and I want to choose to listen to a certain voice. Why? Because as I listen to this certain voice, it is going to motivate me in a certain way. It is going to affect how I run. It is going to affect how I lift. It is going to affect how I do today. And certain ones of us are struggling in our day to day. Why? Because we don't have the right soundtrack, the right voice coming through our ears. Why? Because my input will always affect my output. What is coming into me will always affect what comes out of me. And Samuel receives this advice from Eli. Maybe you just need to listen to God, because I think it's God trying to speak to you, Samuel. And what I love, just a few things out of this story, what I love about this that I think about, you know, when God is speaking to Samuel, it's the voice of a guardian. How do I know it's the voice of a guardian? Because Eli was Samuel's guardian. Samuel hears the voice, and who does he go to? He goes back to Eli to say, Eli, you called me. And Eli's like, I didn't. I love the fact that God has a guardian voice, protective voice, a caring voice. Second thing I love about this story is that the voice of God, of the voice that God is speaking to Samuel, is gentle. Wasn't aggressive. Samuel! There wasn't a shout with it, but there's a gentleness with it. And Samuel kind of, Eli, goes and asks him. There's a gentleness to the guardian voice of God. The third thing I like a little bit about this story is that the voice of God, this is important, I think, the voice of God was appropriate for Samuel. God knew who he was speaking to, and so God adjusted his voice for who he was speaking to. He's speaking to a little boy. So he doesn't need to be aggressive in his tone. He needs to be, Samuel, Samuel. Doesn't freak Samuel out. Ah, who's that? We've got a burglar in the house. Samuel kind of just seems to nicely wake up and go and find Eli. Why? Because God's voice is a guardian voice. It's a gentle voice. And his voice will be appropriate to you. Why will it be appropriate to you? Because he knows you. You are his sheep. And we respond to that voice. And Samuel says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Can we create a church culture where God's servants are listening? Where we are listening for that voice of God amongst all of the other voices, where we're not so busy that we miss the prompt, that we miss the little nudge. Because what I've found about the voice of God is the voice of God, however it comes to me through any multiple forms, often his voice leads me to use my voice as God's voice for someone else. is that every time you come to church, to this service or our 6 p.m. service, what I'm hoping for is that I have listened to the voice of God. God, what should I share to the people today? And God speaks to me. I then use my voice to speak to you. So now you have a voice about what God has spoken to me about. Maybe that's how God's kingdom works, as he speaks to prophets and as he speaks to pastors and as he speaks to leaders and as he speaks to all of us. He speaks to you, maybe so that you can use your voice for somebody else. He speaks through people. He speaks through you and he speaks through me. At our last Leeds at Six gathering, which is a monthly gathering we do once a month in Leeds on the first Sunday, just felt prompted last time. I just said to the church, we're going to hear the voice of God and if you have a word or if you have a prophecy, if you have a word of knowledge, come forward and bring it. I'm like, we've not done this before. It could be carnage, but who knows? A few people came forward and a lady came forward and she's never been on the platform before and never kind of held a microphone before. And she just said, I sense God. She came and spoke to me. I said, I sense God wants to say this to some people, but I'm not sure. It's just, you know. So I was like, hey, come, grabbed her hand. I said, you're going to come with me. And I pulled her to the front of the platform and I said, this is Liz, and she wants to speak something that she believes God might be speaking to us. And she spoke about perspective and she spoke about a vision shift and how some people were a little bit blurry and certain things and God wanted to say this, this and this. And she says, if that is you, would you come forward, thinking like it was going to be one? About 33 people came forward. I'm like, maybe that is the voice of God speaking to a person to be given to the people. The band can come and close with me right now. In 1 Kings, we see how God speaks and he appears to Elijah. And the Bible says he doesn't come through a wind and he doesn't come through an earthquake and he doesn't come through a fire, but he comes, guess what? In a whisper. And Elijah takes the whispered voice and it changes a nation, because sometimes all it needs from God is that little whisper. In Psalm 29, I want to close with this morning. This amazing psalm which talks about the voice of God. It says from verse 3, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters, for the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. For the voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. For the voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare. And all in his temple will all cry glory. When God speaks, sometimes we think, oh, it's going to be some thunderous voice. But sometimes the voice of God comes in many different forms. But whenever God speaks, Psalm 29 tells me things change. Things move. When God speaks, things change. And things move. When Paul is on his horse and he gets knocked off and blinded in Acts chapter 8, this incredible conversion, God speaks to him and says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And this communication begins to start of a relationship that would change the world. Because the voice of God for Paul became a leading voice. He then writes 2/3 of the New Testament based on what he hears from God. And he goes and speaks that voice out to the people. Does God speak today? Yes, he does. Can we listen to him? And can we create space amongst all the busyness, amongst all the noise, to let him speak to me and to let him speak to you? It might not be through an audible voice in the sky. It might not be through a cloud. It might just be this inner voice. It might be a nudge. It might be a prophecy. It might be a word of knowledge. It might be a scripture. It might be a lyric in a song. It might be a word of encouragement. It might be a course that you go on. God speaks in so many different ways. What I'm trying to help us all understand, can we be like Samuel today? Where we go, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Speak, because we are listening.
Hey, thank you so much for watching. We pray to God that you've been impacted by how great God's word is, by how great God's plan is for your life. But I do want to say, if you need prayer for anything, then drop us a line, drop us an email. We would love to hear from you so that we can pray for you and just continue on this journey of building life together. Have a great week, month, year ahead.